Every big thing starts small. It's a natural law. Every big multinational corporation was once a small business. Welcome to the Small Starter Business Podcast, a unique podcast for practical tips and advice to help you start, grow, or turn around your business. Welcome to another episode of the Small Starter Business Podcast. I am your host, John Paul Iwoha. This episode is about communication, and it's about communication in sales. And this is very important. In fact, the topic of this episode is how to use the right message to sell your product or your service, to sell anything you want. Messaging is important. Communication is key. And that's because the way you describe what you sell has a strong influence on people. You know, it helps them make the buying decision. How you describe what you sell goes a long way in actually selling the product. Now, there are some products that can sell themselves because they are very popular, or because they are made by very popular brands and, you know, they don't need to say anything. But for most people, you have to say something. You have to communicate the value of your product. You have to describe it. You have to get people interested in it. And of course, as you know, communication can have several forms. You can say it. It can be verbal. You can write it as an email, as a letter, as a social media post or something. It can be images in a magazine or on social media. It can be video on YouTube or WhatsApp or any other platform. Now, it doesn't matter how you communicate. It doesn't matter what format you choose to communicate your message to your potential customers. What I want to focus on in this episode is how to actually use the right message to hit the right spots in the mind of a potential customer so that they are more likely to buy what you're selling. And it doesn't matter if what you're trying to sell is a product and the person is a customer, or you're trying to sell a job position in your company to a potential employee, or you're trying to sell your business as a valuable investment proposition to a potential investor. It doesn't matter who you're selling to. Messaging and communication, the logic of it works exactly the same. It doesn't matter if it's a customer, an employee, an investor, or you're trying to get a distributor on board, or you're trying to get a supplier to more or less supply your business. Selling essentially is to get the other side to take more or less what you're offering. So in this episode, I'm going to discuss four strategies for describing what you sell in a way that increases the chances that the person actually buys from you. So let's get into it. The first strategy is to understand the difference between wants and needs. This is very, very important. We are humans. It doesn't matter if you're selling to a customer, a supplier, an employee. All these people are human beings. And as long as they're human beings, they fall under the influence of this principle. And that's the difference between wants and needs. Now, what people want is very different. Many times it can be very different from what they need. A need is logical. Needs are logical. A need might be something you need to solve a problem or relieve a pain. You know, a need is logical. I'm hungry. I need food. That is a need. It's very logical. If I don't eat, I'm going to go through the pain and the discomfort of hunger. It's also even going to affect my health. I need accommodation. I need a roof over my head. It's important for my security, for my state of mind, for my well-being. You know, so there are different needs that people have. I need communication. I need transport. These are logical things I need to get stuff done. That's what needs are. Needs are very logical. But wants are emotional. Wants are emotional. Now, so and wants are, when if wants are emotional, and people respond more to emotion than logic. So that's why many times it's said that you should sell on the basis of emotion and justify it with the logic. So you have to sell people what they want and then deliver what they need. Or you have to sell them what they want and justify it with what they need. So I'm going to give you a couple of examples here. For example, people need clothing. People need clothing. You need clothes to cover yourself. That's a basic need. That's what people need. But what people want is fashion. That's why you see that there are so many brands in the world. There are so many different kinds of clothes, so many different kinds of styles. Most people don't want to wear the same thing as the other person. People want to express their sense of style, their sense of taste in what they wear. But what we really need is clothing. But people want fashion. So if you go about selling clothing that, you know, you need clothing, you need to cover yourself, you're not really going to get far. But when you sell fashion, you sell exclusivity, you sell uniqueness, you sell color, you sell form, you sell, you know, these are the, that's why the fashion industry is a multi-billion dollar industry, because they sell what people want. They don't just sell clothing, they sell fashion. They sell self-expression through what you wear. So you need to understand that difference. It doesn't matter if you're in the restaurant business or you sell BB accessories or whatever business you are, you're into consulting or whatever. You need to understand the difference between what people need and what they want. What they need is logical. What they need is basic. But what they want on top of it is important, because there's a strong emotional attachment to it. Another example is people need accommodation. That's what people need. You need shelter. You need a roof over your head. That's what people need. But people want a home. There's a reason why, you know, you step out, many houses are different. You walk into any house, you're going to notice that the curtains are different. Maybe the tiles or the rug is different. The furniture is different. People express themselves. What they want is a home, even in the way they design the spaces and the way they describe it. So if everybody just wants shelter, then all of us should be in a hut or some one-room space somewhere. But people like different things. Some like a room and a sitting room. Some like a duplex. Some like a bungalow. Some like a townhouse. People have different wants. They want different things. You know, so it's important to make that differentiation. Another common example, people need food. You know, your body needs nutrients. That's exactly what your body needs. But people want taste. They want aroma. They want presentation. That's what people want. So if you're just selling food because people need it and you're not paying attention to the taste, to the aroma, what it looks like, the story around it, the environment in which that food is served, the kind of people who serve it and things like that, then you're going to be missing out on a lot of things. So if you focus exactly on what people need, the first thing is that the competition is just so much. But if you focus on what people want, you have different opportunities to differentiate yourself. So the question now is, I don't know what product you sell. I don't know what kind of service you offer. What is the need that your product satisfies? What is the need that it caters for? Now that is separate. Now, what do people want on top of that need? So yes, I want accommodation, but I want to build a home. I want to be able to choose the accessories in my home, the furniture. I want to look at the spaces. I want a drive-through in front of my house or a garage. Find out what I want in addition to the basic need. So it doesn't matter what you sell. You need to figure out the difference between the need your product or service caters to and the wants you satisfy. The more wants you are able to build into your product, the greater your ability to differentiate yourself from the competition, the greater the appeal your product is going to have, because you're going to be striking several emotional notes in the heart of a potential customer. So it's important that you look at it from that direction. When you are selling something to somebody and you're trying to communicate it to them, don't just communicate the need. Also focus a lot on the want. And when you focus on the wants, you have a wide range of vocabulary, because wants are emotional. You can use striking language, flowery language, inspiring language, emotional language. That's where it comes from. Just look at any advertisement that's trying to sell a car or perfume. Just imagine. So a perfume, for example, is made up of chemicals, you know, but then when you listen to the description of the perfume, you know, what it does in terms of your sense of class, how, you know, they more or less describe it like something that's out of this world, but essentially it's perfume. Look at wristwatches like Rolex. They tell you it doesn't tell time. It tells history. So a Rolex is not just a watch that tells time. It's the kind of thing is a kind of watch you hand from generation to generation to generation. So it's not just a watch. It is a statement of class. It's something that tells a story. It builds connection. So that's what it is. What you need is a watch, something to tell time. What you need is a watch. But what you want is something that's beyond the watch. And Rolex has built a story around your wants. That's why a Rolex can sell for more than $10,000. But the average watch sells for what? $20,000, $25,000, maybe a couple of $100. That's the difference between describing your product as just a need or catering to all those wants that people are looking for, that people are looking to fill in their mind. So that's an important part. When you describe your product, separate the need from the wants. The more wants you're able to wrap around your product, the stronger the language can be and the stronger your differentiation from other products on the market. The second strategy to look at is the outcome versus the process. Now, this is quite interesting. I need to pay attention to this. Now, people buy something because they want results or a desired outcome. That's why people buy stuff. People buy stuff because they want a particular result. If I buy food, for example, I'm not buying food for the sake of food. I'm buying food to enjoy it, to quench my hunger. There's a reason why I'm buying something. If I hire a consultant or something, there's a result I want. It could be greater productivity in my business. It could be more profits. It could be cost savings or something. There is a result I want. If I join a gym, for example, the outcome I want is that I want to have a toned body. I want to build muscles. I want to have six-pack abs or something. So that's the outcome that people pay for. Now, the outcome is emotional. It's what the customer wants. It's what they are hungry for. So if you sell a product or a service, there is a certain outcome that your customer expects from you. They don't just buy from you for the sake of it. There is a result that they want. Now, on the other side is the process. Now, the process is logical. The process is how you will get the results the customer wants. And sometimes the process is not as attractive or as appealing to the customer. So to give you an example, when people join a gym, they don't join a gym because they want to wake up 5 a.m. every morning to hit the road and run. They don't join the gym because they take pleasure in lifting heavy stuff. Those things are hard to lift, you know. That's not why people pay to join a gym. People pay for the outcome. People want they want to feel better about themselves. They want to look more attractive. They want to build muscle. They want to lose weight. They want to look more attractive, essentially. That's what people... But then the process is that they have to wake up early. They have to build certain disciplines. They have to lift weights. They have to follow a strict routine. So, for example, the process could be a system. It could be a workout fitness routine. The system could be a special diet if you're in the weight loss business. It could be a curriculum. So if you're trying to sell something to maybe a customer and the customer is trying to more or less raise money from investors or grow their sales, now that's the outcome that they want. But then the process is that they have to go through your course. They have to go through your training. They have to learn stuff that they didn't know before. They have to do actual work. That's the process. Your process could also be a framework. It could be a strategy or something. So let me give you some some specific examples. Let me try and sell something. Let me try and communicate what I'm trying to sell using this outcome versus process system. So here it goes. Do you want to grow your business and double your profits so you don't have to worry about money again? Now that's the outcome. Do you want to grow your business, double your profits so you don't have to worry about money again? That's the outcome. So here comes the process. My 3-week training program will show you how to achieve it. So I've painted an outcome versus the process. I've told you what the outcome can be. You can double your profits. You don't have to worry about money. You can grow your business. But then the process is that you have to go through my 3-week training program. So that connects what the customer wants with how I'm going to achieve it. Another example is, so now listen to this. Do you want to lose weight, get sexy, 6-pack abs that will make your ex-boyfriend green with jealousy? That's the outcome. Now, here comes the process. My special system of workouts and diets will help you get there. So I'm selling a weight loss program. But then rather than just focus on what the product is, the kind of diet I have, and just talking about the product, I intro with what the customer wants, which is they want to lose weight, they want to look sexy, and of course, it's likely they want to make somebody jealous. It might be an ex-boyfriend, ex-girlfriend. And then, of course, that's the outcome. Then I come in with the process. I have a system, a special system of workouts and diets that will get you there. So that's one benefit of the outcome versus process technique. The third strategy or technique I'm going to talk about is the value versus the cost. Now, this is very interesting. Pay attention to this. Now, this strategy works well if what you're selling comes at a considerable cost, if what you're selling comes at a price that, you know, the customer really has to think about before they make the decision to buy, then this strategy works really well. Now, value is what the person gets. The value you're promising is what the person gets. Is the result, is the pleasure, is the profit, is the gain. It's the result, essentially. What you promise is the value. The cost is what the person has to put in. It's the price of getting that value. It's the contribution, is the sacrifice they have to make to get the value. So when you compare the value to the cost, many times you diminish the pain or burden of the cost. Because if you notice, as a customer, the moment you see the price of something, you're just focused on that price. You all your attention is focused on that price. It's too expensive. You know, you're likely to say it's too expensive. But then what value versus cost does is that it's not just too expensive. Too expensive compared to what? You give the person a benchmark, something to compare that price to, so that they start to see that it's not really expensive. It's not the cost is not really as high as they thought it would be. So let's look at some interesting examples here. So this is an example where I'm trying to pitch to an investor to invest $1 million in my business. And $1 million is a lot of money by any standard. But rather than make the investor focus too much on the $1 million, this is what I say. By investing $1 million in this business, you'll be able to exit in 3 years, in 3 years' time with $2.5 million. So all this time, they've been thinking of $1 million. $1 million is a lot of money. Do I want to take this risk? Do I want to give this kind of money to this guy? But then I introduce the value. The value is that in 3 years' time, that $1 million will be worth $2.5 million, almost three times their initial investment. So rather than focus on the $1 million, what you see is that they start to look at the $2.5 million. The $2.5 million is attractive. I'm sure they want it. So then it doesn't look too bad after all, giving $1 million to get $2.5 million. The second is an example of me trying to sell a software product. Now, this software product costs $50 a month. That's what it costs. So when you put the price forward, of course, the customer is already thinking of the cost. This costs $50 a month. I don't have $50 a month. It's too expensive. I can't afford it. So this is what value versus cost does. And this is me pitching the product. So by using our software, which costs only $50 a month, you will reduce your overhead costs by $250 per month. So you see what's going on here. What I'm saying is that this software costs $50 a month, but it can help you reduce your overheads by up to $250 per month. So right now, $50 per month is not looking like too much, because with $50 a month, I can get a return that is almost five times. I can save $250 that I would have lost normally in the business. So when you give the value versus cost comparison, it helps the prospect, it helps the customer or the potential customer put the price or the cost of that product in the proper perspective. So they don't look at it as just a sacrifice, as just losing money. They see it as a way of getting value that is even far superior to what they are losing. So value versus cost, very solid, very useful strategy. The fourth strategy I'd like to talk about is the benefits versus features. Now, the benefit is what people get by using your product or service. When you talk about benefits, is what a customer gets from using your product or service. An example of a benefit is convenience. Another example is speed. Another is savings. If you're able to save costs, that's a benefit. Another is returns. If I can make more money, make more profit or grow, that's a benefit. Another one is efficiency. If I can do more with less resources or less time, then, you know, that's a benefit. Another benefit is pleasure. If this thing is going to make me happier or feel better, then that's a benefit. Another benefit is safety, security, exclusivity. These are benefits. Now, on the other side, a feature is an attribute. It's an ability. It's a quality that your product or service has. That's what a feature is. A feature is what your product can do for the customer. So it's important. I see this a lot of times. People try to sell features as benefits. Now, what your product can do for the customer may not actually be valuable in the eyes of the customer. So you need to be able to make that differentiation. Something, your product may be able to do something for a customer, but the customer may not find value in that thing. So that's very important. And one other interesting thing about features is that it is usually the technical part of what you sell. And usually this comes with a lot of jargon language. Jargon is the ways that you describe something in a particular industry. So the way people in the aviation industry or the restaurant industry or the education industry describe things is very different. There's a lot of technical details. If you listen to engineers or lawyers or accountants, they have a lot of technical jargon. They have a lot of jargon in their language. And the temptation sometimes is to try to impress the customer with your jargon. Now, communication is important because if the other side does not understand what you're saying, then you're not communicating. So if you're trying to impress a customer by using all these high-sounding words and abbreviations that the customer doesn't understand because you want to show the customer how high-tech, how advanced, how knowledgeable you are going to lose that person because no communication is going on. The person on the other side doesn't understand what you're saying. So that's why there's a temptation many times by people who sell a product. Because you know your product so well, you are tempted to discuss and describe the features over the benefits. But benefits are a language that customers understand. When you speak the language of benefits, the customer understands you very, very well. And benefits are very, very easy to describe in the simplest of language and with the commonest of terms. So let me give you an example of this whole benefit versus feature thing so that you do not make the same mistakes when you are trying to sell something to a customer, an employee, an investor, or whoever. So advanced seat belts, airbags and early collision detection systems are features of a car. So you tell me that this car you're trying to sell to me has advanced seat belts, it has advanced airbags, it has early collision detection systems. Those are features. But the benefit of what you're telling me is that this car has a higher safety. I'm unlikely to die driving this car. That's a benefit. I tell the customer, you're unlikely to die driving this car. Why? Then I talk about the features. Because it has advanced seat belts, advanced airbag systems, and an early collision detection system. So the features sometimes describe the why. So for example, you come up to a customer and say, this is one of the safest cars in the market. You are unlikely to die driving this car. And the customer says, how come? That's a very serious claim to make. How is that possible? Then you come in with the features. That, you know, is the safest car because it has advanced seat belts, advanced airbag systems, and an early collision detection system. Another example of features versus benefits. So these are features. A gym has large spaces, experienced fitness trainers, and different types of modern equipment. So this is somebody who's trying to sell me a gym membership. It's telling me that the gym has large spaces, it has experienced trainers, and it has like weights to lift and all sorts. You know, that's the feature. But the benefit is we can help you lose weight and get you that body shape that you want in the shortest possible time. That's the benefit. We can help you lose weight and get you that body shape that you want in the shortest possible time. And then the customer says, wow, how is that even possible? Then you roll in the features. That's because we have very experienced fitness trainers. We have different types of modern equipment and we have really large spaces. So the features justify the benefits. So the benefit is a promise. This is something I can do for you. And if your benefits are really cool, the customer should say, wow, how is that even possible? Then you explain it with the features. So, but you don't go features first because a lot of customers don't understand features. They are jargon. They can't relate with features, but every customer understands benefits. Another example of this benefit versus feature thing. So this is somebody who is trying to sell software, security software. And the guy goes, our software has a level 4 authentication framework with single sign-on and token verification. As you can imagine, this is the normal jargon of IT people. People who are in the IT space are very proud of their knowledge sometimes, and they can just go more or less on this run of using jargon and technical stuff that the average person doesn't understand. So this guy is talking about level 4 authentication framework. What is that? He's talking about single sign-on. What the hell does that mean? He's talking about token verification. What the hell does that mean? To the average person, you're not communicating. They don't understand what you're saying. But then here's the benefit. Our software is very secure, and you're unlikely to get hacked or be defrauded if you use it. Now, this is a very strong promise. This guy is saying that the software is very secure, so high security, and you're unlikely to get hacked or defrauded if you use it. If you are a bank or some kind of financial institution and you're holding money or any form of assets for people, in this day and age where hackers can more or less hijack your system, steal from you, and stuff like that, this is a language you understand. High security, you are unlikely to get hacked and or defrauded by your employees. Now, that's the benefit. And then the customer says, wow, you really can do that. How is that possible? Then you roll in the features. That's because we have level 4 authentication frameworks. We have single sign-on and we have token verification. If the customer wants to learn more, then you can explain what the features are. But you lead with the benefits and explain the benefits with the features. The benefits will get the customer curious. They want to know what this is, a big promise. How can you do that? Then you roll in your features. That's how it rolls. So you move with the you move in with the benefits and justify the benefits with the features. But it's on a need to know basis. Some customers may just be satisfied with the promise of your benefits. And for some people, your benefits are going to make them curious. They want to know, how is it possible you can pull off this stuff? Then you can explain with your features. So at this point, let's recap. I started this episode by explaining that communication is key. Most businesses cannot just sell their products, you know, by themselves. There are products that maybe they are made by a known brand, or they are very familiar products people will buy. But for the large majority of us, we actually have to communicate before we can sell. It doesn't matter if we're selling a product to a customer, or we're trying to sell a job to a potential employee, or we're trying to sell ourselves or our business to a potential investor, or we're trying to sell an opportunity to a distributor or to a supplier. Communication is very key. It helps you describe what you sell, and it can have a strong influence on the decision that the person makes to buy what you're selling or not buy. And then I discussed 4 important strategies to keep in mind when you're trying to communicate to a potential customer. It doesn't matter if you're doing this verbally, in written format, video, images, audio, whatever it is. There are these 4 main strategies. You always have to keep it in mind. The first is the wants versus the needs. You have to have a very good understanding of the wants that your product can satisfy. Wants are emotional, needs are logical. People want clothing, but people need clothing. People need to cover their body with clothes, but people actually want fashion. So if you sell clothing, you're not going to get very far. But if you sell fashion, you're going to get people excited and interested. People need accommodation, but people want a home. People need food, but people want aroma, taste, presentation, how the food looks, the packaging, how it's presented, what it tastes like, what it smells like. People care about that stuff. So you can't just sell food as a need, that if you don't buy this food, you're going to die. No, people respond better to wants. The second is outcome versus process. The outcome is what people pay for. Nobody buys your product out of just wanting to buy your product. They buy it for a reason. They want something. There is a satisfaction they're looking for at the end of the road. But then there's a process. The process is how you make the outcome possible. So it's important that you lead with your outcome and then support it with the process. The third strategy I explained is the value versus the cost. If the price of your product is considerable and you notice that the potential customers are focusing a lot on the price, what you then need to do is to provide them a benchmark to compare that price. So if people are always saying, this product is expensive, I cannot afford this, the price is too high. Too high compared to what? Expensive compared to what? So what you have to do is you need to get a concrete figure that represents the value of your product. So if they pay $90 to buy this product, What do they get in return? If you're able to quantify that value and say, for example, if you pay $90, the value of this thing is actually $300. Then in that person's mind, it makes a lot of sense. All of a sudden, $90 is no longer a high price. It's no longer expensive. Actually, $90 makes sense because if I pay $90 for this product, I get value of up to $300. It makes sense anytime, and it's a deal that most people are going to take. And then the fourth strategy is benefits versus the features. So benefits are essentially what the customer wants. Benefits are emotional sometimes. Examples of benefits are convenience, speed, savings, efficiency, pleasure, you know, all of that. The feature is what your product can do. But then the trouble sometimes is that what your product can do may not be valuable to the customer, may not be seen as a benefit to the customer. So your product may be advanced, may use some cutting edge technology, but to the customer, it's meh, it doesn't mean anything. It's no value. So it's important to always connect your features to benefits. And then when you sell to customers, what you lead with is your benefits. If you use this product, you are going to get this. And then that benefit gets the customer, the potential customer, curious. And then they ask, how is that possible? How can you do that? Then you explain with your features. Your features are supporting to your benefits. It's how you explain the benefits you are promising to your customers so that it makes sense to them. Your features are the way you explain your benefits so that the person doesn't just feel like you're making empty promises. So that's really it for the four strategies: wants versus needs, outcome versus process, value versus cost, benefits versus features. So at this point in this episode, there are four important things I need you to consider. The first is to join the Insiders Program. Most of the things you hear on the Small Starter Business Podcast are inspired by interactions between our members or strategy sessions I have with members of our community. This is a kind of deep, interesting, practical, boots on the ground knowledge that you get by being a member of the Insiders community. It doesn't matter what you sell, doesn't matter what industry you are in, doesn't matter what country you are in. The moment we put heads together, we can crack any sales problem you're going through, any business growth problems you're going through. Essentially, the business of the Insiders community, our members and myself especially, is to resolve business problems, to help people make progress. So the Insiders community is a community of entrepreneurs in different countries, in different industries, who are trying to build their businesses. We have people in different industries, from real estate to agribusiness to tech and all sorts. So being a member gives you the opportunity to be inspired by what other people are doing. It gives you an opportunity to actually solve your problems and stop using all this trial and error ways. So you can imagine, if the content of this podcast is free, you can imagine the kind of value you get from joining the Insiders Program. And to learn more about the Insiders Program so you can see what we do and, you know, actually consider joining the program, you can check us out at smallstarter.com/insiders. Again, it's smallstarter.com/insiders. The second thing I need you to consider at this point is to tell your friends about this podcast. This is high-grade business information. I've been getting a lot of interesting and exciting and inspiring feedback from people who have used the free information on this podcast to do amazing stuff. So if you're getting this for free, I think there is a moral duty on your part to share this with other people, your friends, people you know who are trying to start a business or have already started a business and are trying to grow the business, or they already have a business, but then the business is flailing and failing and they need to turn it around. There's a lot of gold nuggets they can get by listening to the Small Starter Business Podcast. So share this with them. Don't keep it to yourself. The third thing I need you to consider is, if you like what you hear on this podcast and you want to say thank you, one good way to give us a pat on the back is to leave us a 5-star review. A 5-star review also makes it possible for other people who are on a podcast directory to find our podcast. So when you rate us high, it allows other people who are looking for useful and valuable podcasts to find us. So you can leave us a review at smallstarter.com/review. smallstarter.com/review. And then if you have any question to ask, I take questions from time to time. You can leave me a voice note at smallstarter.com/message. But then seriously, this is almost what, 40 or 41st episode in the Small Starter Business Podcast. As long as our members in the Insiders Program continue to do amazing stuff, they are going to continue to inspire more interesting topics on this podcast. And rather than just be that person who listens to information and more or less is trying their best to apply it to their business, some of the stuff you get here, you can apply directly. But some others, because all businesses are different, you may need bespoke advice. You may need to tweak stuff a little more. And I can't respond to all the emails and all the requests that I get. But then as a member of the Insider community, you have my full attention. And I can't wait to welcome you as our newest member. Check us out at smallstarter.com/insiders. Again, it's smallstarter.com/insiders. See you inside. Take care of yourself. Cheers. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Small Starter Business Podcast. To take our free business courses or join one of our signature programs for special entrepreneurs like you, head over to smallstarter.com to join our private community. See you inside.